Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 91 at 17,823. S&P 500 up 7 at 2,089. NASDAQ Composite up 31 at 5,104. Yield on the 10-year Treasury up 1 basis point at 2.26%. Oil down 15 cents at $40.39 per barrel. Gold down $4.80 at $1,078 per ounce. Silver down 16 cents at $14.23. The S&P 500 index gained 3.3% for the week, its best showing since December. The Dow rose 3.4% for the week, and the NASDAQ added 3.6%. And now we begin the Santa Claus rally on Wall Street, which kicks off with the turkey shoot. For 35 years prior to 1987, the Wednesday before and the Friday after Thanksgiving combined were up 33 times. The only declines were in 1964 and 1965. Subsequently, this trend changed. In the 28 years after 1987, there have been 12 declines and 16 advances. As Thanksgiving bullishness lost steam in 1987, the rally afterwards occurred more frequently. Since 1987, Dow Jones Industrial Average has logged gains in 22 of 28 years from the close on Friday after Thanksgiving to year-end. The S&P 500 is up 0.5% in November and 1.5% thus far in 2015. There are 28 trading days remaining in 2015, and going back to 1950, December is the best month of the year for the S&P 500, with the final 30 days of the year producing a mean gain of 2.3%. There could still be a black swan or some other exogenous event. This doesn't mean that we're guaranteed a rally, only that the probabilities are good. ECB President Mario Draghi says the European Central Bank is prepared to deploy its full range of stimulus measures to fight low inflation. The comments from Draghi, echoed by other top ECB officials, suggest support among the highest ranks of the central bank for expanding its quantitative easing program and cutting the deposit rate further. Under the ECB's bond-buying program, which was launched in March, the central bank is buying $64 billion a month in mostly government bonds. It's slated to run at least through September 2016, but many expect the ECB to extend the program beyond this date. Federal Reserve Vice Chairman Stanley Fischer says the Fed has done everything it can to avoid surprising the markets and governments about the first hike in interest rates in 9 years. It's looking more and more like a December rate hike is a done deal. But Fischer said no final decisions have been made and officials continue to scrutinize the data. Fischer said it remains to be seen whether the emerging market countries in Asia and the world are sufficiently prepared for the potential capital flows and market adjustments so that there are no major macroeconomic consequences. Today, St. Louis Fed President James Bullard said the economy is going to go into a boom period, citing the low unemployment rate, which is currently 5%. Bullard added that the U.S. labor market was basically back to normal after the 2007-2009 financial crisis. But the Fed should not repeat what it did during the 2004 through 2006 tightening cycle, when it raised rates at 17 consecutive meetings. And Bullard emphasized that policymakers should be more flexible and reactive to data this time. Bullard also said the persistence of low interest rates was a puzzle, echoing comments he made last week in a speech titled Perma Zero, where he entertained the possibility the United States is entering an era of permanently low rates. Well, it probably isn't that big a puzzle. Demand has remained at low levels as fiscal policy contracted. Even where monetary policy produced some stimulus, it was counterbalanced with austerity. Corporate America has been on a stock buyback and financial engineering binge, which cut investment in R&D and innovation and capital expenditures. The Great Recession was a knife in the back of workers, and even though jobs have come back, wages have not. As the global economy contracted, investors looked to the safe haven of the dollar and treasuries, which pushed down exports and also kept a ceiling on rates. And the financial industry has grown even larger than before the financial crisis, and it continues to be a giant black hole of derivatives and shadow banking that swallows productivity. I could go on, but it isn't a puzzle. The House of Representatives has passed legislation to increase oversight of the Federal Reserve that includes a provision that would require the central bank to follow a mathematical rule to set interest rates. In May, the Senate Banking Committee already passed Republican-backed legislation to increase oversight of the Fed, but that measure doesn't require the Fed to follow a mathematical rule. China's yuan may enter the IMF's benchmark currency basket at a lower weighting than previously estimated, as the institution considers making weights less related to export volumes and more dependent on financial flows. Such a change would give the renminbi a lower share in the basket than under the current formula. IMF policymakers are expected to vote on the currency's inclusion to the special drawings rights basket November 30th. The leading economic index jumped 0.6% in October after falling in the two prior months, signaling a pickup in growth after a soft patch during the late summer and early fall. The leading economic index is a weighted gauge of 10 indicators designed to signal peaks and valleys in the business cycle. Greece's parliament has backed additional reforms needed to unlock 12 billion euro from its latest bailout, which should help recapitalize the country's struggling banks and pay off overdue government debts. Gunmen attacked a hotel in Mali in Western Africa and killed dozens of hostages. The attackers held 140 guests and 30 staff members before a counterassault by Malian security forces assisted by the U.S. military that freed the hostages. The death toll is unclear, but at least 27 bodies have been found in the hotel. A jihadist group based in northern Mali, affiliated with al-Qaeda, claimed responsibility. In the past few days, clear signals have emerged showing that the terrorist attack on Paris have had a big economic impact on the city, one of the most visited cities in the world. The survey by a French hotel and restaurant operators union suggests that sales in the city's cafes and bars during the past week down 44%, while hotels have suffered a 57% drop in business. Air France has so far refused to comment on passenger numbers and cancellations bound for Paris, but low-cost airline EasyJet said that travel to the French capital has plummeted. The U.S. Treasury Department took new steps designed to discourage corporate inversions or deals that allow companies to move their legal address abroad to avoid taxes. Treasury Secretary Jack Lew said additional steps were planned but also called on Congress to address the issue. Will the new rules derail a Pfizer-Allergan deal? Maybe not. Allergan and Pfizer are considering structuring a merger of the drug companies so that it is an acquisition of the much bigger Pfizer by the much smaller Allergan, based in Ireland. Nike is buying back $12 billion worth of itself. After the market closed on Thursday, Nike announced a $12 billion stock repurchase authorization, plus a 14% dividend hike, and a two-for-one stock split, which will go into effect December 24th. Gap slashed its outlook. Gap announced that sales fell 3% year-over-year to $3.8 billion. Same-store sales across the company's brands, Gap, Banana Republic, and Old Navy, down 2%. Earnings came in at 63 cents per share, right in line with expectations. Abercrombie & Fitch crushed expectations on profits, revenues, and same-store sales, sending the shares up by as much as 20% in early trading. Ross Stores shares moved higher after the off-price retailer also reported better-than-expected earnings. Tyson Foods plans to close two aging prepared food plants, affecting 880 jobs, in the face of prohibitive renovation cost and changing demand. The closures come as Tyson continues to remake itself after its 2014 acquisition of Hillshire Brands. The company expects to cease operations at a pepperoni plant in Wisconsin and a prepared foods facility in Illinois during the second half of the year ending October 1st. Chipotle is having problems again. A new round of E. coli infections have hit 45 people in six states: Washington, Oregon, California, Minnesota, New York, and Ohio. 16 of those people had to be hospitalized. No deaths have been reported. This follows an outbreak at the beginning of November when 22 people in Washington State and Oregon fell ill. Massachusetts is barring people under the age of 21 from playing daily fantasy sports. While the decision limits a large demographic within the fantasy sports industry, it stops short of following the lead of New York Attorney General Eric Schneiderman, who recently declared daily fantasy sports illegal gambling. The proposals would also ban fantasy competitions based on college sports, prohibit promotions on high school and college campuses, and bar anyone connected to professional sports, including athletes and agents. Tesla Motors is voluntarily recalling all of its 90,000 Model S sedans to check for a potential problem with seat belts. A Tesla owner in Europe had an issue with a bolt holding the seat belt system in place. It became loose. Tesla said the owner was not involved in an accident and has determined the flaw was an installation issue. Tesla shares dropped today, but they should have gone up. This was a voluntary recall, unlike GM, which fought a recall for faulty ignition switches even as people died, or all the models using Takata airbags, which exploded in a shower of shrapnel while car companies denied the problem, or VW, which cheated on emissions. Tesla was proactive. No one was injured. The real question is why other car companies can get away with murder. We invite you to follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio. You can also visit eatthebankers.com. That's the daily blog. It includes text, audio, author interviews, and a free podcast. You can download the app and then listen whenever you want. That's eatthebankers.com. Eatthebankers.com. Stick around. The review continues.